Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy 4th of July Independence Day weekend.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great weekend watching fireworks, hanging out?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's been a great week. We got to go see Marika get her citizenship this week, and that was a lot of fun. And we also had another citizenship happen this week. Which is DeAndre. He entered into the citizenship in God's kingdom, and so he's doing fine. Him and Devante are out of town, but really excited to have a new brother part of our church here at Tuskegee University. So really excited about that. So today we're going to talk some more about grace. So I hope everybody came prepared to learn about grace. So let's go ahead. Let's start out with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much, God. Thank you that you love us so much and that you give us so much more than we can deserve, more than we will ever earn, Father. And God, we're so grateful that it is like that, Father, because you are God and you've given us so much. And as we think about our life and our salvation, we think about our sin and how it's been forgiven. And Father, all these things, there's no way in the world we could possibly ever do these things on our own. And yet you give us so much, and God, we're so grateful for you. Father, I pray that today that we will get one more, as we're going through this series on grace, we'll get one more piece of the puzzle here and really helping each one of us to understand how incredible, how amazing your grace is. And Father, I just thank you so much for this day. I pray that you be with each person here today. Let the room be filled up with your spirit. Please help those that are out of town, as we know we have a lot of people that are out for this weekend with ICMC and everything. And Father, I pray that you would keep everybody safe, Father, and close to you. Father, thank you so much for this time to meet together. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're talking about the amazing grace. And so today, grace, it really is amazing.
Amen.
You ever think about how amazing grace is? Grace is really, really amazing. And last week I had a confession to you that's been something that I've been trying to work on for a long time, right? I have another confession this week. Now this one's going to shock you and blow your mind away, because the minister is going to tell you, I'm going to make this big confession. I am a sinner.
No.
You, I know you guys never knew that and never realized that. But we all sin. But that's not my big confession. but really, it's my confession is not that I sin, but I realize as I'm studying about grace and I'm studying about how God views my sin, I'm starting to realize more that I really don't think like Jesus. That when I think about my sin, I think so differently than how God thinks about me. And just a little example, it's great when God puts these examples for your sermon, like the day of. And so, I was having a conversation with a brother, and I got a little bit too aggressive and forceful, and I went and I apologized to the brother. Brother forgave me, and that's awesome. However, in my mind, I walk away from the conversation thinking, man, I'm such a mess. Like, why did I say it like that? And why, look at my sin, and look at how come I don't change this or this or whatever. You know how I just start thinking about myself and start thinking about my sin. And that sin, even though the brother forgives me and it's completely over, in my mind, I hold it on myself. Like, I'm really hard on myself when I think about my sin. Now, I don't know if you can relate to that. But I'm just confessing about me, is that sometimes I do not really realize how amazing God's grace is. So that's what we're gonna talk about. We're gonna talk about how amazing God's grace is. But first, I want to talk about a word that in a lot of situations is really not a good word to use, and it's the word but. Okay, we're talking about the but in conversation, but this. Okay, and what I mean by that, see, your mind's going the wrong direction here this morning. What I mean by that is that I've learned this, like, let's say I'm talking to Marge and we had a little bump or something like that, and I say, Marge, I am so sorry for what I've done, but you don't understand, this is what I was thinking because you did this. Now, how many times, if you're married, how many times does that ever work for you? It never works, right? And so the word but a lot of times has this negative thing that we think about. But today we're going to talk about some wonderful buts of the Bible. I know that sounds bad. Don't let your mind go in the wrong direction. Because the word but is really incredible, and we're going to see here in a minute just really how awesome that word is, because sometimes we can read these things in the Bible and let certain things pass us up. But really, this all has to do with grace, and a lot of times the word but is used in the Bible. Let's look at a few scriptures here that uses the word but. Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but, there's that word, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we know, a lot of us know this particular scripture, right? So if we were to tell people what this means, I mean, you think about a wage and you go to work and that wage is what you earn, right? And how would you like to go to work? And at the end of the week, they give you this paycheck and it says you've earned zero. Would you guys be fired up about that job?
Yes.
Yeah? Demetrius would be the only one. How many of you would go back to that job next week? I mean, none of it. That's the reason why we go, right? We go because there's something that we've earned. And you wonder if you went to work all week long and, you know, we got our sandwich artist right there, Demetrius.
Yay.
He is a true artiste when it comes to sandwiches. And so at the end of the week, he gets his paycheck. He's been making all these incredible sandwiches all week long. And then it says, he looks at his paycheck and it says, you've earned death. I mean, that wouldn't be a good job. I'd be out of that one. But when we think about our life, what we deserve, according to this scripture, is the wages of our sin. And that's what we're going to talk about, is how we view our sin today and how God views our sin. But the wages of sin is death. That's what we've all earned in life. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, even though we deserve the death, there's that but that says now, but because of Jesus and because of his grace, we get something so incredible and so awesome. Let's look at another but scripture. Ephesians 2:1-5, made alive in Christ. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. So that talks about our old life and really just that we were dead in our sin and our transgressions, and we were really deserving the wrath of God, right? That's what we deserve. Then there's that word, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. I mean, when you look at this scripture, I don't know what fires you up, but when I look at this scripture, I look at, that's the old Mike. But because of his grace, but because of Jesus, because of his great love for us, his great love for me, yeah, I get the chance of having a new life. Mm-hmm. That excites me. Mm-hmm. That excites me. And so I love when the Bible has these kind of buts in there. You know, another one, Titus 3. Excuse me. It says, at one time, we too were foolish. How many of us were foolish before we knew Christ?
Yeah.
I was. I think all of us were. I didn't see that many hands going up, but I know I was. At one time, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Doesn't that describe the world that we live in? We live in a world where there's not a whole lot of love, where there's a lot of hatred towards people of different races, people of different economical status, and whatever. I mean, there's all different reasons why we hate each other. You know, different countries hating other countries. But really, it goes back to our sinful nature that we're foolish and disobedient and enslaved. Mm-hmm. Then there's that word again, but. And it says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of the things we had done, the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. There's that word again, but, you know, that because of His mercy, and it makes it clear there, it's not because of any of the righteous things that I've done. Mm-hmm. You know, we already made that clear last week that all of us, we're all, before God, we've all sinned. We're all a mess. The only thing we have to rely on is the grace and the love of Jesus. And so it's not because of the righteous things I had done, not because I'm such a great person, but it's because of the mercy that Christ has had for me. You know, I don't know what excites you. You know, there's a lot of things in our world that get people really, really excited. You know, we were at the fireworks the other night, and that was exciting, right? It's exciting to watch these things go off, you know, up in the sky, and you know, there's tons of people getting together, and it's great. I had a, you know, we were playing games, we were sitting next to the curb and by the street on University, and all the cars were playing games on the table, and I mean, it was just a great time, and we get excited about that, right? We get excited about doing things like that. Mm-hmm. We get excited about graduations, right? Some of you guys that are in school, that's what you're looking forward to, right? Michael's probably the next one here, so he's getting really, really excited about it. And so, rightly so, these are really good things to get excited about, right? These are not bad. You know, some other things we get excited about. We get excited about our team, right?
Yeah.
We get excited about, you know, Auburn, and we go out there and we throw toilet paper on the trees, and that's awesome, right? Great excitement. And I know some of you guys this week were excited about the World Cup. And I don't know, is it over?
No.
It's not over. But I've seen people, no, I didn't mean that as it's over. I just know that in the last week or so, I've seen people going crazy. You know, and depending what team you're voting for, you know, some people went more crazy. But people get like this, and they get like this when there's their team is playing, right? And that's exciting, right? Those are great things. But I want to ask you, when you think about the buts of the Bible, but looking at your old life, and then, but God has given you grace. God has given and shown you mercy. God has allowed you to live your new life in Christ. God has turned you from being dead in your transgressions and now being made alive in Christ. You know, I want you to think about it. Does that excite you? Mm. Does this what it looks like? When we come to church, is this what it looks like? Mm. If somebody walks in the room, do they see these expressions on your face? Mm. You know, I had one person that came into church one time. It was a friend of mine, good friend of mine. And he came into church and he says, "What? I don't understand. Why are people so happy here? This is weird. This is weird." He says, "That's like a football game. This is weird. My church doesn't do this. We all sit quietly. And we're, you know, we don't really talk." But really think about this. If we're so excited about Jesus, why is it that the world gets to party like this? But when we think about the grace that we have something so much greater than any game, because you know what? In a year from now, no one's probably going to remember who won what game. Now, you might. It might be your favorite team that won. But for the most part, think about 10 years down the line. Do you think about a game that happened 10 years down the line that has happened? You might. I don't know. But I want you to think of this. If you are excited about the grace of Jesus, that excitement can follow you all the way through this life and into eternity.
Amen.
It's so much greater. It's so much more awesome. It's so much more. We sing the song Amazing Grace. The grace that Jesus gives us is so amazing. But do we really see it like that?
Yeah.
Do we really understand? And that's why we're going through this series about grace, because I believe this really has to deal with everything we do as a Christian.
Yeah.
When we understand the grace, this is how it's going to be to come to church.
Right.
This is what you're going to invite your friends to.
Right.
You know, now I'm take away the alcohol and all the other stuff in there. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. But we need to be this excited about our relationship with Jesus and what we have and what we don't deserve. You know, let's look at some more. Today we're just going to focus about, we're going to look at our sin and think about how God looks at our sin. But really in all this, really think about how amazing the grace of God is in our life. Something that you and I have every day, but I think, like myself, I can easily take for granted. I can easily start looking at myself. I can easily start beating myself up over my sin instead of really thinking about Jesus in the whole thing. And so today we're going to really focus on how amazing the grace of God is. So let's look at one scripture here. This is as far as the east is from the west. Again, this is how God looks at our sin, our sinful life, where who we are. In the sin, because all of us, right, we're all sinners. I lead the church, and I'm a sinner. We're all a bunch of sinners, right? It says in Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as has he removed our transgressions." Uh-oh, where's the rest of that scripture? From us. Oh, it's down there. Okay. Okay. So from the east into the west, he's saying, this is how God looks at us and looks at our sin. You know, and he says there before there, he says, he doesn't give us what our sins deserve. He doesn't have this repayment plan for every time we sin. You know, he's got these points. Okay, so Michael, he sinned a level 10, so I'm gonna give him back a level 10 curse. You know, that's not how God thinks. I think sometimes we can think that's how God is, but I'm so grateful that he does not repay us according to our iniquities or our sin. And it says, it talks about his great is so love for those for us, who those who fear him. And then it says in verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions, our sins from us. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but that, you know, he's making a point here about our sin and how he views us. And I learned something as I was studying this, and I still don't really get this, but I seen enough evidence to see that it's true. Okay, so maybe one of you guys can help me one day with this. But if you're going north, you will eventually go south, right? So eventually you'll come to the North Pole or whatever, so this has something to do with the axis of the earth. I can't really explain it that good. But if you keep going east, you're never going to go west. So if you're going east, you're always going eastward around the earth. Okay, so one of you smart people can really explain that to me sometime. Is that true? Maybe it's not true. I don't know. But I've looked up enough where people have said this, and I've read books that people have really gone into this. But what I see about the scripture, because he says here that our sin is as far as the east is from the west. So according to this, the east and the west never really touch.
Mm-hmm.
The east and the west never, they're basically Because you can never run into it. They're infinity miles from each other. Mm-hmm. There's no way that they could ever come close. And what God is saying here in these scriptures is that when he looks at our sin, he says our sin is just, it's millions of miles away, infinity away. You know, it's infinity away. And what he's saying is that forgiveness of our sin is complete. It's complete. It's total. It's total forgiveness of our sin. It's not like me. When I look at my sin, I don't totally forgive myself sometimes. But this helps me to start thinking, Mike, you're thinking wrong, because when God looks at my sin, he totally forgives it. He gets rid of it 100%. He doesn't even see. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's part of the amazing grace that God has for us. Let's look at another point here. Behind his back, Isaiah 38 and verse 17, it says, "In your love you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back." You know, I don't know if you ever had something behind your back before. You know, maybe somebody did this to you in school. I don't know if they still play these games in college, maybe. But when if you ever had the kick me sign on your back, the whole point of that is that you can't see it, and everybody else can. But you cannot see that. Mm-hmm. And so you're walking around all day like, hey, I'm cool, and on the back it says, kick me. But when you think about it here, it's saying that you put all my sins behind your back. God doesn't just say that he, you know, when he forgives us of our sins, he doesn't just leave them on a table sitting next to him. It says that he puts them in a place that he can't even see our sins. He no longer sees the sin, the deliberate disobedience we show to him. He puts it in a place where he doesn't even see it. It's behind him. You know, and a lot of times we think that that's not how God is. Right. We think that he's just focused on you. Yeah. And we think that sometimes the whole God and the Bible, it revolves around me. That all God has time to do is just look at my sin, and he's going to keep on teaching me lessons. He's going to keep on going. Now, he's going to do things in our life. He doesn't not see the sins. He's not dumb or anything like that. He's not blind. But he does put them in a place where he doesn't have to look at them. And that's how amazing God is. That's how amazing he is. Let's look at another one here. And again, these are just things that I get excited about. That's why I share them with you. You know, because when I think about my sin, I think so badly. I don't understand the grace that God has for me. You know, I look at this scripture, another one, hurled into the sea. And this is in Micah 7:19. It says, "You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all your iniquities into the depths of the sea." You know, it says here that our iniquities are our sin. His example is he's just going to hurl it into the ocean. Now, imagine this. Imagine Marge and I are on a cruise, and we're hanging out over the side, you know, on the railing there, and somehow Marge's diamond ring falls off. Her engagement ring falls off into the water. And we get home from the trip, and she goes, "I lost my ring." And we try thinking back, wow, the only place that ring could have fallen was into the ocean. Do you know what your chances of finding that ring are? You can't find it. Because when we think about the ocean, that little itsy bitsy ring, and you got the whole ocean. When we think about the ocean, I don't know if you guys really think about these things a lot, but did you know there's only one ocean? There really is only one ocean with different regions, because the water all touches each other in reality. So the water all goes together, but there's different. There's the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Indian, the Arctic, and the Southern. That's deep. Is that deep? It says the average depth, this is how deep it is, the average depth is approximately 14,000 feet.
Oh my goodness.
Now that's the average. Now I've read some there maybe a little bit under that, but it's somewhere around there. And so the water of the ocean, or oceans, however you want to look at it, it covers about 71% of the earth. That's huge.
Wow.
71%, because we think that when we live here in Auburn, we think everything is right, you know, because it's all we see. But the majority of the earth is covered in water. And then it says here there's about 321, I think that's million, cubic miles of water in the ocean. I mean, my brain can't even wrap around how much water that is. And again, imagine dropping the ring over the side and thinking, hey, we can go back and recover that. But the example is that's how God looks at our sin. It says here that he hurls our iniquities into the depths of the sea. And you only hurl something into the depths of the sea if you don't want it to be found again.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's so true.
So true. And in fact, that the water that's in the ocean,
oh my goodness,
is enough water to, now there's a mathematician in here, he's going to have to help me in this, enough water to fill about, where's Alan at? Okay, Alan, what is that?
1 quintillion.
Okay. 352 quintillion. I mean, can you even imagine that's how many water gallons that you'd have to fill up to get the size of the ocean? And then you think about it, you think about our sin. You know, right there I put one, that's my sin right there. Try to imagine finding that sin in 352 quintillion gallons of water. You know, and again, I'm not saying this to make light of sin. This is not about making light of sin. This is not to get us to say, oh, we can just go and sin because that way it'll just fill up another water thing and it's not that big of a deal. That's not what the purpose of this is. But the purpose is to see that when God says he forgives us of our sin, he really means it. That's how much he really means it. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
God's grace is so amazing. Let's look at another one here. It says that, you know, this is blotted from the record. Isaiah 43, in verse 25, it says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. This is what God says. He remembers our sins no more, and he blots them out. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if blotting them out means like erasing it or something, but it's getting rid. He doesn't. There's no way he can see it anymore. And we have a hard time with this concept because a lot of times we think about, we carry the records of wrongs with us, right? And especially with other people. You know, we look at other people and we carry these records of wrongs. And a lot of it has to do in the world that we live in. You know, like, everybody got a traffic ticket before? No, I'm the only, me and Demetrius are the only ones in this room. Well, you guys are awesome. But when you get, when you get a ticket, you go to, I had a choice, at least in California when I was there, to go to traffic school. I don't know if it's the same thing here.
Yeah.
But you get to go to traffic school, and that takes away a point. And basically what that point does is it helps you to have, your insurance doesn't go up. But I didn't know this, that it does not take away the record it doesn't take it away from your record. It takes away the point. So it shows that according to the insurance that you still get good rates, but on your permanent record somewhere, there is a file that says that Mike was going this much over the speed limit. And I read that it stays on there according to the DMV. it stays on your record for 75 years. Wow. Now, some of you guys say, well, that's not too permanent because 75 years is a, well, I want you to think about this. Most of us got our license at 16 years old, right? And some of us up to 20, right? So at 16 or 20, and then another 75 years, if you got that ticket right away, it stays on there. You're going to be a minimum of 91 years old before that thing gets off of your record. So is that permanent?
Yes.
Most of us won't be driving at 91 years old, for one thing. You know, and most of us have tickets that happened after 16th birthday. So it's going to be even later. So in reality, what it's saying, what I'm trying to get a point across is that a ticket, even when they say you can take a class, it's going to make it better,
yeah,
somewhere on your record, it still is there.
Yeah.
It's still there. It does not go away. It doesn't get blotted out. And, you know, when we think about what God is saying here, he's saying that he erases, he blots it out, and I think it said so, he remembers it no more. He blots out our transgressions. When we think about how God views our permanent record, this is how he looks at us. When you're in a right relationship with Christ, this is how God looks at our sins. Does that fire you up?
Yes.
Because I look at how messed up I am, and I look at my sin, and I look at how I hurt people, and I look at things I've done to hurt my wife, and I look at things I've done in my past that have gone against Jesus. But then I think about, this is how God sees me after all of that? Mm-hmm. That there's not one thing, not even one, that's showing up on my permanent record?
Well,
I mean, that is the most, if that doesn't get you excited, there's something wrong. Because we live in a world where everybody holds records of wrongs. In fact, we have a hard time even in the church sometimes. I mean, think about that. You know, a brother does something really bad to you. And then he comes and he says, I'm sorry. And then he does it bad to you again. And you say, I'm sorry. You say, I'm sorry. He does it bad a third time. He says he's sorry. And you say, I forgive you. But in the back, even though we say we forgive that person, don't we sometimes in the back of our mind think, this is how this person is? Because I'm looking at their record, their permanent record. But the amazing thing is that when God sees you, he sees you without any blemishes, without any stains. He sees a white piece of paper when it comes to your permanent record. That's the most exciting thing ever.
Yeah.
There is nothing that I can tell you that's more exciting than that.
Yeah.
That's not how we think. And I know it's not how we think because the world doesn't think like that. We look at each other and we hold things. You know, there was an incident that happened not that far from here in Atlanta. And a lot of you guys know a guy named Richard Jewell. He was known as the bomber for the Olympics, right? Back in, I forgot what year that was.
96
Summer Olympic Games. And so basically, the story in short, basically he was a security guard, and he saw this bag that he thought was a bomb or something like that, and he went and he got people out of there. And he did so much, and it says, in fact, Richard Jewell was a jewel of a man. He was a private security guard who spotted the bomb, informed the police of its existence, and escorted park visitors off the site until the bomb exploded. He was a hero. But what happened with the media was they looked at this guy and they thought, this guy doesn't look like a hero. This guy's like a mall cop. He's like a mall cop, a security guard. And like, how could this guy, a little bit, you know, larger man, and you know, had this drawl kind of going on, and they thought, this guy can't really be a hero. And so what happened was the FBI, CNN, NBC, all these news, the New York Post, the Atlanta Journal, all these news organizations, and the FBI started saying, this guy was the bomber. He was the bomber. And so this went on for quite a time. It was weeks and weeks and weeks that the media sat out in front of his house. I mean, imagine that. You just got done. I read one report that said all he wanted was his mom to say how proud she was of him. Because she did say that. She said when she found out that he had done something good, but then within a day or so, everybody was saying he was the one who planted the bomb. And so they sat out in front of his house, and really for 9 years, he was going to court trying to figure this out and trying to prove his innocence. And then in 2005, a guy named Eric Robert Rudolph pled guilty to the bombing. It turns out that they had the wrong person for this bombing. And this man went through misery because even after 2005, when this other guy came out and said that he didn't do it, or he did it, and so that made Jewel completely innocent, that still, he had this reputation that carried around with him every single day, everywhere he went. Hey, there's the Olympic bomber. And people just, they only remembered that. They didn't remember that this man saved a lot of people. But that's human nature. That's how we think. And we got to make sure that even within the church, we don't think like that. That because someone messes up, we hold that grudge in our mind with them forever. And we start thinking, well, that's just how Michael is. Or that's, you know, forever, anybody.
Yeah.
Michael, I say that with pick Michael because he's awesome. And he doesn't have that much. He's like an angel. But we've got to start changing our thinking to start thinking like God looks at us. You know, some people, when they think like, oh man, I just feel so bad about myself. You know what I tell them to do? This is my great wisdom and everything I know right here wrapped up. Go and study out your Bible, and you tell me what God thinks about you. And really, that's not my wisdom. That's just the Bible talking. So I try to look like I'm wise. But when you come out at the end of that study and you realize that this is how God looks at you, after all you've done in your life, after all the things you've done that were not right before God, after all the mistakes, after all the sin, the dirty sin that's been in our lives, God looks at us like this. And he doesn't hold anything on our permanent record. I just think that's incredible.
Yeah.
Let's look at one more here. I mean, I could talk about this stuff because it excites me. It excites me to know that it doesn't matter what other people think of me. But when I go and pray to my God every day, mm-hmm. I know that he's looking at me and thinking about me like he sees nothing wrong. And he doesn't see any of my sins. This one here, free from accusation. Colossians 1, 21 to 22. It says, once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Without blemish or free from accusation. I want to ask you something this morning. Is this how you see yourself? Because this is how our God sees us. You know, we got to make sure that we don't look at each other and even look at ourselves as having this accusation where people could say, you're guilty. Well, you know what? We're all guilty. That is what's so amazing about grace. That even though I'm guilty, there's nobody that can point the finger and accuse me of anything before God. Mm-hmm. Because in God's sight, I'm free of sin. In God's sight, I don't have to live behind the bars in the prison of sin any longer.
Yeah.
He's allowed me to be free from that. Mm-hmm. And that's how amazing God is. You know, I like to get down. I like to put this heavy load on myself when I sin, and I get guilty. God doesn't think like that. That's my own human wisdom or lack of wisdom. But I got to start seeing myself as God sees me. Again, when I look at this stuff, it doesn't show me that I can continue to sin. But it shows me the exact opposite, that because of this, I have so much in my life.
Yeah.
To celebrate. Mm-hmm. I have so much to celebrate. And so this morning, I want to, you know, ask you a few questions. Is this how awesome you really see God's grace as? Mm-hmm. I mean, I want you to think about that. I think we're at church, so the automatic answer would be yes, right? Because we're at church. But I really want you to think about that. When you think of how amazing God is, do you think about how amazing His love is towards us, mm-hmm. and how He sees us and views our sin, even when I've done nothing to deserve this? You know, do you live your life celebrating this awesome grace? Mm-hmm. Do you live your life celebrating this amazing grace? You know, I think that leads into other things we could talk about. Joy. Where do we get our joy from as Christians? Right there.
Yeah.
We've got to get our, if we're trying to get our joy from how awesome the brother or sister is next to you and what they've told you, you're never going to be joyful. Mm-hmm. If you try to get it from, you know, whether we meet in a stained glass windows or whatever, or a hotel, you're never going to get that joy. It doesn't matter where you meet. What matters is are you celebrating and excited about what Christ has done in your life? Mm-hmm. You know, and if you are, do you tell others about it? I mean, I want you to think about that. If we really were excited about the grace, about this amazing grace that we're talking about today, how many people do you think would be coming to church? We would have to hold people in from getting into the doors. Mm-hmm. But first, in order for that to happen, we have got to have that excitement.
Yeah.
And it's got to be showing in us. Yeah. Because when they say, well, tell me about your church, you're not telling them, oh, there's that great, you know, I want you to meet this great guy there because he's so awesome. And, you know, come talk to Chidia because, you know, he'll help you. No, you can go and you can go, I'm excited about grace. That's why you need to come to church with me. And do you still feel chained by your sin? Do you right now, do you feel chained by your sin? Because as Christians, we really shouldn't. We've seen that today. But I think that sometimes because we don't have a good grasp on the grace, that we can start feeling again like we're in a prison of our sin. But I want to remind you that God's grace to us and His forgiveness is complete. Mm-hmm. You know, if we all live like this, this would be the most joyful, happy church in the whole world. Mm-hmm. We'll have people lined up coming out the door. And your relationship with God will be so exciting that you know, when we start thinking about the world and stuff like that, going back to the world, we'll think, there's nothing for me to go back to.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, think about it. Why would any of us want to go back to the world if this is what He does for us?
Yeah. Wow. It's true.
How amazing God's grace is.
Yeah.
Let's really think about that. Let's study that out. Let's really be a church that is about the grace of Jesus.
Yeah.
And let's really change the city that we live in as a response to this grace. Yeah.